Well, God bless you for being in God's house this morning. Amen. Well, I pray all you and all your family had a wonderful and blessed, happy Thanksgiving. Some of you look very full, full of the word. Got you there. Amen. But I hope you had a wonderful time of giving thanks to the Lord and giving thanks for family and friends. Amen. Praise God. But it's always a blessing and a privilege to bring forth the word this morning. And I believe that the Lord has a word for each and every one of us. Praise God. How many of you love the presence of God? Amen. You know, I was thinking about it, that worship song the praise and worship team was singing, "The Reason I Live Is to Worship You." And you know, that's the truth, you know. A lot of the times we figure out why we're living our lives, what are we living our lives for. And as believers, you know, we live our lives as a worship to God. You know, worship is not just limited in this house, the house of God. But worship is not something we do, right? It's how we live our lives. Worship is a way of life that we live. Amen? Praise the Lord. But if you have your Bibles this morning, let's lift up our Bibles. Scott, there's a ring going on right now. But lift up your Bibles and let's do our declaration this morning. Amen? We're big on declaring the word of the Lord. And lift your Bibles and repeat after me. This is my Bible, God's written word. I am what the word says I am. I can do what the word says I can do. Today I will be taught the word of God. My mind is alert. My heart is receptive. I'm here to receive the supernatural, powerful living seed of the word of God. I am about to be transformed. Change is about to take place. My mind is about to be renewed, influenced, inspired into the mind of Christ. Therefore, I'll never be the same. In Jesus' name. And everyone say, amen, amen. You know, these words that we are declaring is just not words that we're just speaking. These are things that we are believing God, right? These are decrees, right, that we're making unto the Lord. Turn with me to Psalms 119. We're going to look at verses 9 through 11. Psalms 119, verses 9 through 11. And if I was to put a title on this morning's message, I would like to call it Value the Word. Value the Word. Yeah. You know, a lot of us have many different translations of the Bible. I mean, some of us got Ukupila Bibles in our house. We got all different versions, and that's great and well. And sometimes we treat the Word of God as common, as just another book. And therefore, we become so familiar with the Bible that we lose the sense of its value to us. Amen. You know, when we are in the prison, we're not able to go in because of, you know, the COVID. But when we do go in, you know, we teach the Word of God. That's a privilege that we're able to take the Bible and go into the facility and minister to this book. And, you know, when the men and women request a Bible, we make sure that they get a Bible, for sure. And some of the sad thing of some is that they fail to to take the Bible when they go back home in society. In fact, they fail not only to take the Bible with them, but they fail to put this word within their hearts, because that's where the word belongs. And therefore, because they don't do that, 3-4 months later, I see them again. But the ones who really embrace the word, you know, I have, you know, when I'm teaching the word, I have some of them, I mean, they're quoting scriptures to me, trying to impress me. But you know what? I'm not impressed by how much scriptures you quote to me. What I'm impressed by is how much of that word that you're quoting that is in your heart and that you're living by. Amen. So I would tell them, could you please stop and doing what you're doing and just listen to what I have to say to you? Because apparently you're in here and I'm not. And I'm giving you tools that you can learn by, but which not only can help you while you're in here, but help you while you're living out in society. And sad to say, like, some of them, they leave, and, you know, not all of them. And the ACOs have to pick up all the Bibles that they've left in their bunks. You know, and like I said, you know, 3-4 months later, you walk in your service and you go, oh, you're back. Amen. I had one guy, one brother in Christ, wonderful brother. He sat in my meetings, and I had no clue that he was a homosexual. But later, 6 months later, the Lord was moving in such a way that men wanted to share their testimony. And I just go with the flow. And he said, you know, Pastor Herman, the Lord convicted me one night. And he says, that's not the lifestyle that I chose for you. I made you a man. But the Lord spoke to him in his room. And he said, you're right, Lord. And he gave up that lifestyle. Boom, cold dry, delivered, set free completely. And he said, he shared that testimony. And I was like, and I was thinking, wow, I didn't know that. Well, I didn't have to know. God knew. But he got the word within him. And he got set free. And the funny thing about this story was, a few weeks later, he got two other ones that came in the same room as him, and he was able to minister to them as well. Yeah. Praise the Lord. So when I talk about the value of the Word of God, you know, that this Word is so valuable, it's to be treasured, it's to be honored. Amen. And I tell our guys, I says, this word will keep you from sin, but sin will keep you from this word. Amen. That's how powerful it is. And that's why it's so valuable. You know, when you talk about value, you know, the first thing that comes to your mind is treasure, right? Gems and diamonds and all these valuable things. And that's the same thing with this word from God. It's valuable because it gives you comfort when you need comfort. Amen. How many of you can say this word has brought me comfort when I needed to be comforted? This word is so valuable, it'll bring you peace when you need peace. This word is so treasured and valuable, when you need strength, it'll give you strength. When you need hope, it'll give you hope. Amen. It does. When you need faith, it'll give you faith. And that's why it's so valuable. This is not just words on a paper. This is God's word. Spoken out of men of God. Verbatim. Word for word. Line upon line. Straight from heaven. through a man that was available. And God used to speak forth his word, and they wrote down this Bible, this word. Amen. Word for word. If you look at it, you can say that this Bible, right, is the mind of Christ. What is an author? An author is one who writes a book. What is the book? He puts his thought on paper. So this is all God's thoughts on paper. Does it make sense? Yeah. And that's why it's so valuable and precious. But I don't know where I'm going, but I know I'm going someplace. But let's look at our text this morning. Reading from verse 9. It says, how can a young... I'm reading from the New Living Translation. It says, how can a young person stay pure? By obeying your word. I have tried hard to find you. Don't let me wander from your commandments. I have hidden your word in my heart that I may not sin against you. I have hidden your word in my heart that I may not sin against you. And as I was writing that down this morning, just filling it in, I just felt the Lord say in my heart, so the possibility of a person sinning or missing the mark or not sinning is determined if that word is in one's heart or not. Amen. Does that make sense? If the word is in your heart, then the possibility of you committing something that goes totally against God will not happen. But if the word is not in your heart, the possibility of you doing something wrong against the word of God is a possibility. Amen. That's what the writer is saying, right? Amen. Amen. But anyway, let me go on a lighter study and we'll get back into it. Psalms 119, how many of you know, or you might know, is one of the longest chapters in the Bible. Yes, it is. It has 176 verses. Everybody say, wow. That's a lot of verses. Amen. And Psalms 119 has, you know, like any part of the Word of God, it has important truths and wisdom to obtain if we invest the time of discovering them and not just skimming through from page to page, verse to verse, but really, really getting into the Word. How many of you are still on your Bible challenge? Don't raise your hands. I pray you all are. Amen. I haven't heard anybody come up to me yet and saying, Pastor Herman, you owe me a pizza. But I believe that you're working on it. And I'll be hearing some of you pretty soon, right? But, yeah, you know, sometimes we miss out of the hidden gems that reveal the richness of God's everlasting love, his mercy, his power, amen, that when you read the Bible, you know, I really read it, that it's like the life of God coming through the pages. You ever experienced that? That the Word of God actually coming alive and God speaking to you because you're spending the time in the Word of God. You're honoring the Word. You're acknowledging that this Word, and you pray before you read the Word, that the Lord would give you insights and speak to your heart. See, these are all things you do to prepare yourself in receiving the Word. But if you go on and just read it like a newspaper, guess what? You'll receive nothing. You'll receive nothing. Amen. In Hebrews chapter 12, the Word of God declares that the Word of God, God's Word, is quick and it's powerful. Or another translation, it's living and it's alive, active. As a two-edged sword. Everybody say a two-edged sword. Now, a two-edged sword tells me that the sword cuts both ways. It cuts going in and it cuts coming out. Amen. Right? You ever been in a service where you might even be in a service right now, and you feel like the word of God is cutting you? It's revealing some stuff to you. You know? It's like, ooh, that hurt. But it's cutting in a good way. It's revealing some things in our lives. Don't raise your hand, but I've been in services like that. Yeah. But it cuts both ways. It cuts going in by revealing some stuff, the things that need to be cut away. But it also brings healing. So if you stay put and then just be calm, the word of God will cut you up and it will stitch you up and heal you. Amen. Amen. If you just stay still and don't go to the bathroom. Because it's living and it's a live word, because God is a living God, right? So the word of God reveals and the word of God heals. A two-edged sword. Amen. So it's simultaneously, it's amazing the word of God, what the word of God can do. It simultaneously reveals and it also heals at the same time. Amen. I thank God for the word. Amen. Without the word or the preaching of the word, I wouldn't be where I am today. Amen. I mean, when the first time I came to this church, listening to the pastor preaching, I says, man, somebody must have told the pastor everything about me. You know, I'm looking around, I go, the guy's reading my mail. Somebody must have told him about me. That's the only way he knew about these things. But not realizing that the word, the Spirit of God, was revealing some things in my life that the Lord wanted to address. Not only address, reveal. How many of you know God does not expose us?
Amen.
He's our Father.
That's right.
But he reveals things to us. God is light. He brings, his word brings light into those areas of our lives. And when he reveals something in your heart or your life, he wants to bring healing into that area of your heart. Amen. Now, when you believe God, everybody say, believe God. When you believe God in what God has said pertaining to your life, your future, your ministry, your call, your gift, your finances, your health, whatever, it activates faith. Everybody say, faith. Faith is just basically what? Believing God, right? So when you believe God, what God has said, it will activate faith. The Bible says, for without faith, it is impossible to please God. Right? For one must what? Believe that he is, and he is a rewarder of those who what?
Diligently
seek him. Amen. So what does that mean? One must believe that he is. Amen. It means that, it means exactly what it says. God is. That God can, God will, and he'll do it. Because he's God all by himself. Amen. But you and I got to what? Believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. See, when your faith is activated, when your faith is stirred, when your heart is filled with faith from this word, when you value this word is faith. Amen. And when your heart is stirred and your heart is filled with faith, right? Believing what God has said, whatever it is he has spoken to you, speak it out. Declare it out of your mouth, right? As we heard this morning, out of your heart, right? Out of the abundance of your heart, what happens? Whatever your heart is filled with, that's what's going to come out of your mouth. Amen. So if your heart is filled with faith, guess what's going to come out? The way that you can tell that your heart is filled with faith, or you can tell that your mind is renewed, whenever you're faced with a situation, a trial, a circumstances, or a circumstance that is out of your control, the first thing will come out of your mouth is the word of God. That's how you can tell your heart is filled with faith or your mind is renewed. The first thing will come out is the word of the Lord, in spite of what's going on. Amen. Anybody receiving something this morning? Amen. So speak out what God has said. And when you speak out what God has said to you, how many of you know the impossible becomes possible? I don't care what it is. The impossible becomes possible. Amen. You know, in the book of Genesis, right, chapter 1, the Bible says, God said, let there be light, and there was light. Or he said, light be, and light was. The impossible became possible. Amen. He's showing us what the word of faith can do and accomplish. Amen. See, when you activate and release your faith through your words, you'll see the tide shift and turn in your favor. How many of you know, how many of you need the tides to shift in your favor? Amen. You know, when Moses stood before the Red Sea and he lifted his shepherd's staff, signifying God's authority, right? The tides literally begin to shift and turn in their favor. God supernaturally opened the Red Sea and made a way where there was no way. Amen. Amen. And Moses says, stand. He told the people, stand. And he declared, stand and see the salvation of the Lord. And that's a now word for somebody this morning. Amen. Amen. You need to stand and see the salvation of the Lord. Stand in the authority of God that God has given to you. And you will see. You will see. I promise you, you will see. Amen. You'll see the tides turn in your favor. Hallelujah. Don't run, don't fear, but stand in your God-given authority and see the salvation of the Lord. God will shift. God will turn that circumstance, that situation, that daughter, that business deal, that doctor's report in your favor. Tell somebody, the tides has turned in my favor. Yes, it has. You know, I can sense, you know, I don't want to talk about too much, but I can sense that the election is turning and shifting. Do you sense that? That things are turning. Things, Lambert, are coming into sync. Hallelujah. The opposing forces are having to bow its knees, aligning and conforming and agreeing with the word of God. Saints have been warring. Saints have been praying. Saints have been pressing. Saints have been standing. Saints have been declaring. And it's not for naught. God is listening. God is hearing. And God is moving. Don't quit. Don't give up. It's not over till God says it's over. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Tell somebody, it ain't over till I say it's over. Amen. Repeat this after me. Faith in God sees the invisible, believes the incredible, and receives the impossible. And that is the God we love and serve. Amen. Well, let's give a God the shout of praise. Hallelujah. There's victory in this camp. There's victory in this camp. There's no white flag out there.
We're not surrendering. We're not giving up. We've got our whole armor of God on. We're standing. We're fighting. Amen. To the end. Hallelujah. Now, some writers suggest that David could have been the author of this particular Psalms. Others say it was Daniel. But here's the thing. I don't care who wrote it. I'm just glad they did. Because this is one of my favorite Psalms. It's a long Psalm, but it's one of my favorite Psalms. Because every verse talks about the Word of God. I mean, it's incredible. It talks about the Word some way or another. You know, God's Word talks about His statutes, His law, His precepts, His commands, His promises, His ways. All of that. This His Word, His law, His statutes, how to live by, the boundaries that we ought to live by, how we should perceive one another, other people, perceptions, our statutes, right? The standard of how we live our lives. It's all in here. Amen. It tells us, tells husbands, you know, he tells us, leave your mom and dad. When you get married, you leave your mom and dad. You cleave, right? You cleave to your wife. You leave and you cleave. Because sometimes when we marry the whole family. And everybody else. God says, when you get married, you honor your mom and dad. But now you have a new family. You leave and you cleave. Amen. It will save you much heartache. You know, marriage can either be an experience of heaven on earth, or it can be an experience of hell. Amen. I know that's strong. It's funny. But some of you can testify to that. But God wants us to have a heavenly marriage to where God becomes in the middle of this relationship. And everything that is pertaining to this marriage, you involve God in everything. Amen. And you will have a marriage made in heaven. When you put God in the center of that relationship. Amen. So David, or Daniel, refers to the Word of God as His precepts, commands, promises, His ways. So the general message, or the core of Psalms 119, focuses the truth of the Word. It focuses the truth of the Word. He just focuses on the Word. David said, "Thy Word is truth." I mean, that's so simple, but yet it's so profound. Amen. Especially in the times that we're living in, there's a lot of untruths. There's a lot of fake information that's going out. There's a lot of stifling of truth, of being able to reach people. Amen. But Jesus, David says, "Thy word is truth." Amen. So what David was implying that this word will tell you the truth. How many of you know it's good to be told the truth? Yes. 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 I remember that movie with Jack Nicholson and Tom Cruise, A Few Good Men. You know, Tom Cruise is a young, spunky lawyer, defense attorney, or prosecutor. And he has Jack Nicholas, a general, had committed an act. And they're arguing. And then Jack Nicholas says, "You want the truth? You can't handle the truth." Oh, it's just awesome. Some of us cannot handle the truth, but we need to hear the truth. And David said, "Thy word is truth." Yeah. So David was implying that this truth will tell you who God is. It'll also tell you who you are as well. Amen. That God is our Heavenly Father and that we are His children, right? You know, this word will also exhort you. It'll edify you. It'll comfort you. It'll build you up. Amen. But to the flip side of that, the truth will also discipline you. The truth will also reprove you. It'll rebuke you. It'll spank you on the backside if you need to, in a good way. Amen. No matter who you are. You know, truth to be told, we've all needed correction or discipline at one time or another, right? I mean, we didn't come out of our mother's womb perfect, right? So we've all needed to be corrected or disciplined one time or another. Some more than others. The Kolohe ones. Whether that correction came from a parent, a close relative, a kapuna, a boss, a police officer. How many of you ever got stopped by, no, don't raise your hand. You got stopped by the police officer. And he corrected you. And if you just sit and just say, "I'm sorry," he might just let you slide. But if you grumble with him, amen. Because you know you did wrong, and yet you still we get corrected by what? Your pastor. Or some leader in ministry. But we've all been there and done that. Can I hear amen?
Amen.
Yeah. In fact, the Bible says the Lord corrects those He loves, and he disciplines those He calls His own. That's in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 6. You know, correction is Father God's. Is Father God loving us enough as His kids and disciplining us when we need it? Amen. You know, if Father God corrects us, you know, we as parents, right? We love our children. We love our grandchildren. Therefore, we correct and we discipline them when they're naughty, when they're acting crazy, when they're disobedient, when they're disrespectful, right? You know, I was thinking about this ever since Pastor Carol put up all the decorations in our house. How many of you love the decorations that some of you have put up? We appreciate all of you who invested the time in making our sanctuary Christmassy. But ever since she put up all, I helped a little, but and this is now, it went up November 1st. So our house is Christmassy, November 1st. And in my mind, when I saw the decorations going up, I thought, oh my goodness, joy. And I got to confess, every day, she brings me joy. She brings me joy. She brings me joy. But she touches everything. So if you drive by our house, you'll hear, "Joy, get away from there. Joy, put that back." You hear that. I promise you. If you drive by past our house. She's our granddaughter. Beautiful girl. But I like to look at it as she's in training.
It's like, oh, how long is this training, Lord? Is that correct? Till she's five? Oh, okay. All right, from experience. All right. Father, I declare by 3 years old, not five. Oh, now, yeah, that sounds way better. When we get home, she'll be like, always, oh, the only way that's going to happen is you tie her up. She'll be like this. But it's been a joy, you know. Does Lord give me an extra love, you know, when we're having to correct her? You know, she'll bring one of the ornaments. Yeah, Baba. Now, I've been on both sides of the fence. I've given correction and I've received correction. Amen. And it wasn't pleasant on both ends. Being the correcting and the correctee. But honestly, I can say it was needful. It was helpful. And much appreciated when it was done and received in love. Amen. And that's the same way God is with us. And this word will do that. Because God loves us. Amen. What father who would not discipline and correct their children if they loved them? Amen. So God does it. Know the heart of God when he corrects us. Right? He's not punishing us. He's not a physical abusive God. But he's a loving God, and he corrects us, and he disciplines us because he loves us. And know the heart of your pastor as well. Amen. So Psalms 119, verse 9, it says, how can a young person stay pure? Well, we can say stay on the path of purity. And he says, by obeying your word. I've tried hard to find you. Don't let me wander from your commandments. I have hidden your word in my heart that I may not sin against you. The King James says, thy word I have hidden in my heart that I may not sin against thee. Notice the writer says, I've hidden your word in my heart, not in my head. My heart. And what he's talking about is your heart, your spirit, man, the true essence of who you are. Yeah? He's not talking about that physical organ, the heart that pumps blood, but he's talking about your spirit, man, the true essence of who you are, right? You are spirit, you have a soul, and you live in a physical body, right? So he's talking about hiding the word of God in your spirit. He says, I've hid the comfort and the power of God's word in my heart, in my spirit. The word hid means to hide, as to keep secret or private. It means to hide, as to keep secret or private. And when I read that definition, I thought about to hide or to keep secret as private. And I got this thought. It says, the Lord says, what do you do? What you do with your private time? By reading? By studying? By meditating on the word, will serve you well openly. Wow. What you do in the private time, in spending time with the Lord, reading, meditating the word of God in private, it'll reward you openly. And what I mean by that is, oh, it'll serve you well, openly. See, when the storms of life comes, right, and they will come, what you do in private will prepare you for these things that happen. Because it will anchor you. It'll fortitude you.
strengthen you within. You might be just thinking, wow, I'm just reading, I'm meditating, and it's really not doing anything. Let me tell you, it is doing something. You're doing spiritual exercise, whether you realize it or not. You're putting the effort in spending time in the Word. And God honors that when you spend time in the Word. And whether you realize it or not, it's strengthening you, strengthening your spirit, man. And that word is getting into your spirit. And it's fortified you and strengthening you. So when you go out and something happens, the storms will come, the rains will come, the floods will come. But it won't hurt you. Because just like the wise man who built his house on the rock, you'll be solid like a rock. And you, when the storms have gone by and pass you by, you'll be still standing. Amen. Amen. But to the one who does not put in the time privately, the same storm will come. And just like we heard what Jesus said of the wise man and the foolish man. The foolish man who built his house on the sand, same storm came, but he fell. His house was destroyed because it was built on sand. The word of God was not placed within one's heart. Amen. So if you've been privately, consistently hiding this word in your heart, in your spirit, you will stand, and you will stand.
Thank you, Lord.
And you will not fall. You will not bend. You will not bow, but you will stand. Because the word of God, God will uphold you in the power of his righteousness. Your knees might be buckling. Your knees might be shaking. But God honors his word that you have taken the time and put in your spirit. He says the word is in that heart. And I am obligated to sustain that individual. Because my word is hidden in that heart. Amen. God honors his word. The Bible says his word will not come back to him void. It will accomplish what I please and it will prosper in the thing for which I've sent it. Amen. Don't ever let your flesh or the devil tell you, hey, you're wasting your time. You know, he only wants to distract you because he knows it works. See, if he knew it wasn't working, he wouldn't come and distract you. But he comes to distract you. Because he knows if you get that word where it belongs, in your heart. See, Jesus says, my word, they are spirit and they are life. And God's word is spirit and they are life. They are seeds. And he knows if you get that word where it belongs in your heart, it'll grow. It'll grow. Amen. And it'll bloom, it'll flourish, and it'll bear fruit. And that's why he comes to distract you and tell you, hey, why are you wasting your time? That's not going to work. Yeah. But what you need to say is, get out of here. It's working. Or you wouldn't be bothering me. Yeah. Another definition of hiding the word is it means to lay up treasures. In essence, the psalmist considers the word of God of highly value, right? He compares it to a treasure of value, the most valuable thing that he possesses is the word.
And because it's the most valuable thing that he possesses, he stores it and he hides it like a treasure, safely secure in a vault. Amen. You remember when Joseph and Mary brought Jesus to the temple? I'm trying to find a place to close. When he was a baby, they brought him to the temple, as the custom was, to present him and present a sacrifice. And as they go into the temple, they are met by a prophet by the name of Simeon, an older gentleman. And as he's walking by, he stops. And he senses that this child is not just some regular child. This is a special child. Because the Lord told him that he would not die until he saw the consolation of Israel. Amen. And as Mary and Joseph are bringing Jesus, he senses that and he stops and he grabs Jesus out of Mary's hands. And he recognizes who this child is. This is the consolation of Israel. This is the one who God sent to rescue us, to save us, and to comfort us. This is he. And he begins to prophesy over him, and he begins to declare the word over him. That is, my eyes have seen him. I have held him in my hands. The word. Jesus is the word. I've held the word in my hands. And the Bible says that Mary heard these things that he was saying, and she began to ponder them within her heart. Ponder them within her heart. And that's the same thing the psalmist was saying pertaining to the word. That Mary hid those words like treasure, safely secure in the vault of her heart. And that's what the psalmist is saying. When you hide this word in your heart, you put it in securely in the vault of your heart. And that's what Mary did. You remember when Jesus became a little older, about 12 years old? They go back to the temple again, do what they need to do. And as they're going back home, Joseph says, "Hey, Mary, you got Jesus with you?" She says, "No, I thought he was you." "No, I don't have him." They look, "Oh, we don't have Jesus. Oh, we forgot him." So they take a U-turn. They go back, and they're frantically trying to find him. And finally, they find him where? In the temple. And they see him teaching the teachers at 12 years old. The Bible says they were marveling at what he was saying. And Mary and Joseph come in, and Mama says, "Hey, Jesus, man, we've been frantically looking for you. Don't you care?" And Jesus looks at them and says, "Don't you know I ought to be about my Father's business?" A 12-year-old telling her, "Don't you know I ought to be doing my Father's business?" And the Bible says she pondered that again. She took that word. And she took that word of treasure and securely deposited it in the vault of her heart. Amen. Because she began to realize, as the angel told her before she was a virgin, that he would be the Messiah. And now she begins to see instances of that coming forth. Amen. That the word of God was being performed to that little boy. The word becoming the word. Luke chapter 2 verse 19, NIV says, "But Mary treasured up these things and pondered them in her heart." She treasured up these things and pondered them in her heart. Psalms 119, and I'm finding a place to close, 105, it says, "Thy word is a lamp to my feet, a light unto my path. The Passion Translation says, truth shining light guides me in my choice and decisions. Isn't that wonderful? What he's saying is truth is a shining light that guides me in my choices and my decisions. The revelation of your word makes my pathway clear. When things are dark, and things are dark, but the church is getting brighter and brighter, as we fill ourselves with the word and the presence of God. Amen. The light that is in you, right? The city that is set on a hill, right, is a light to the world. This word put in your heart produces light. Amen. Because this word is truth. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet, a light unto my path. So when you fill yourself with the word, guess what? You fill yourself with light. Amen. With truth. Light is truth that has been established in your life. Truth that you are living by, that has been established in your life, that you are walking it out. Amen. You're walking out the light that is in you. And that's how your light, your path is lighted. Amazing that thy word is a lamp. God allows us to see where our steps are, where we're going, as we keep our eyes on the word. He doesn't show us what's down the road. Amen. But he just shows us where we need to go in order to get down the road. Amen. Thy word I have hidden in my heart, that I may not sins against you. And that is the value of the word of God. When the word of God is lodged within your heart, amen, sin cannot come into your life. It becomes a fortitude within your heart, because out of your heart flows the issues of life. Amen. So what you put in will come out. Praise the Lord. Amen. You received the word this morning? Amen. Have you been encouraged? Yes. Hallelujah.
Thank you, Lord.
Well, Father, we thank you. We thank you. We thank you for your word this morning. And I thank you for your people, Lord, who received the word that you have for us this morning. And Lord, that there'll be a hunger and a thirst to continue to draw upon the word, the life of the word of God. And Father, help us to see how valuable this word is, that we will not take it for granted, that we will not treat it as commonality, but Lord, that we will, just as we honor you and we honor your presence, we honor your word, because you are your word. You cannot separate the two. And Lord, we thank you that we treasure it as well. In Jesus' name we pray. And Father, I lift up each and every heart and life that is here this morning. I thank you, Lord, that you are doing good and marvelous thing which in every life that is here. Father, your word brings healing. Your word brings comfort. Your word brings joy and hope and peace. Your word brings newness of life, Lord. Every day. Your word reveals who you are. And your word reveals who we are. And that your presence, Lord, defines who we are as well. We're grateful for your word and your presence, Lord, that is here with us this morning. Thank you, Jesus, for loving us and for keeping us and for leading us and showing us the way each and every day. Father, we trust you with all our hearts. And Father, we commit every concern unto you. That as we sang this morning, that you are Jehovah Jireh, the Lord our provider, that you meet every need, whether it's physical, mental, emotional, spiritual, financial. Father, I release that anointing to meet every need in our family's life. In the mighty name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for loving us, Lord, unconditionally. There's so much to thank you for, Lord. Thank you for clarity of mind. Thank you for peace of mind, soundness of mind. Elamande. You know, the Bible says, if anyone be in Christ, he's a new creation. That all things are passed away, behold, all things become new. Hallelujah. And the way that you become a new creation in Christ is you recognize that you have a need within your heart, a need that only Jesus can fill. Amen. A need that he wants to fill. The Bible says, whosoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Whoever, whomever, if you call in the name of Jesus, he'll save you. Save me from what? He'll save you from your sins. He'll save you from eternity. It says there's no other name under heaven given amongst men by which we must be saved. And that's the name of Jesus. Amen. Thank you, Lord. And Jesus came, as I said, as a consolation of Israel, to rescue, to comfort, and to save God's people. The name Jesus means Savior. And as Savior, he saves. Amen. He came to save us. And the way that he saved us, he laid down his life and gave his life for us. Amen. His life for our life. Praise the Lord. And if there's anyone this morning, you know, you've never received the gift of life, eternal life. You've never asked the Lord come into your heart, to come into your life and be the Lord of your life and be the Savior of your life. And if that's something you feel the Holy Spirit is placed within your heart, amen. Is there anyone this morning who say, Pastor, would you pray for me that I want that gift of life that Jesus offers, salvation? Is there anyone who would lift your hands if that's you? Anyone? Thank you, my brother. I see your hand. Hallelujah. Anyone else? If there's anyone else, glory to Jesus. Glory to Jesus.